I'm excited that you're here. If you're brand new, my name is Danny, and I'm going to be sharing with you guys today. I'm one of the pastors here at Kesset, and I'm having a really good morning. I'm going to bring some energy today. I'm going to bring a little energy, and we're going to talk about Jesus. We're going to talk about what he wants to do in our lives, and we're going to do it, I think, in such a way that brings forth some expression. Some of that's going to come from me, and I hope some of it also impacts, pours out, and comes from you. And so today, what I want to do is I want to pray for us. If you're new, especially if you came to Easter maybe, and now you're checking us out, thanks for coming back. That's really cool. So that's nice. That's nice. We're excited that you're here. And we just like to be together. We like to talk about God. We'd like to pull off the gloves and attack it. We just want to get into it. So today we're going to bring some church. Amen? You ready? Yeah? Okay? All right. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you very much for today. Thank you that that every once in a while, God, you kind of shake things up, and I hope today is exactly that. Thank you that we can sit in this room and for the next 20 minutes or so just talk about what it is you want to do in our lives and how it is you want to impact us. We just surrender this time to you. We recognize that you are here, that you're moving, that you're doing stuff. And Lord, we just set down any agenda we may have to see it any other way. So thank you, Lord. Thank you for just being around and being involved. We love it, God, and we're excited. We lift this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Last week we started a series called We Dance, and the whole idea of the series is really a series of expression, and it's a series trying to get us to step outside this idea that we know exactly how to be in relationship with God. I believe that most people in this room, because of how we were taught, including myself, we look at God more like a banker than we do a dancer. We hear sermons about how he paid off all our debt. We hear sermons about how we need to be accountable. We hear sermons how we need to show up and be on a certain kind of church plan, spiritual plan. And if you don't go to church, you'll hear people say things like, "Sorry, man, I haven't been here in a while." It's almost like, "Sorry, I'm 15 days late on my payment. I promise I'll catch up soon." This is often how we approach our relationship with God. And frankly, it gets a little old because once you really get impacted by that idea of God paying off your debt, then why come back? If you go to the bank and the banker says, "Hey, listen, man, you're a pretty special person and I love you." First off, that would be an awkward meeting with a banker. But it could happen. And you're like, "Thank you so much." He's like, "No, I seriously love you, like a lot." And you're like, "Thank you, Mr. or Mrs. Banker. I love you so much, I paid off all your debt." "What do you mean you paid off all my debt? I paid your house off. I paid off all your past mistakes. What? I even paid off any future debt that you might get into. How cool would that be?" Right? You jump up, scream hallelujah, tell everybody about the banker, and then after a while, you're just going to go out and start living life. You come back to the banker a few times, probably, and say things like, "Hey, Mr. Banker, oh, hey, good to see you. Hey, thanks, man. It's been great not having a huge debt to lug me around as I live my life. Hey, I appreciate you paying off my car. You saw that mistake I made. I did, but I saw a bill. And then next thing I know, the bill said covered, and your name and signature were at the end of it. I really appreciate that about you. Oh, no problem, no problem. Hey, do you want to grab some coffee?" "Yeah, I mean, I suppose we could, but I'm so busy now that I'm debt-free." "I mean, I'll try to connect with you best I can, but the reality is I'm debt-free. I'm living life." And the banker says, "Okay, well, I'll just keep intercepting those bills, and I'm here if you need me. Have I told you that I love you?" "Yeah, you did. My friends think it's weird that my banker loves me, but my friends do like how light I live and how free I live and how I make mistakes, but I don't live in that shame because you keep sending me checks. They love that, but it is kind of weird, so I might see you once, maybe twice a year, just to check in, make sure things are good, but other than that, I'm out." Now, if I told you God was a dancer, well, I think most of you would think that's even more weird. You'd imagine yourself showing up for practice, right, and you got your sweats and your chalky feet and your chalky hands, and you're just altogether uncomfortable with that awkward morning hair. You haven't showered, but you're there to dance, not to perform, and then God walks in, and he's like, "All right, we're going to dance." First thing you'd probably do is treat God like a banker. You'd say, "Okay, which song did you pick? I'm here to do what you want to do. Which song did you pick?" And maybe God kind of looks at you awkward. "What are you talking about?" "Well, I'm here to dance. Which song did you pick? When do I need to be here? When can I leave? How long's the dance? What? Tell me, God, what do you want to do?" And maybe God looks at you and he's like, "No, I think you are misunderstanding. I'm here to dance. I'm here to be with you. for us to figure out what song we want to dance to, for us to be a part of this expression. It's going to require us both buying into what this looks like. And guess what? I'm also planning on you messing up. Yeah, God, I don't even know how to dance. Oh, I know that. I know all the dances. Okay, but if you know all the dances, why don't you just pick? Matter of fact, God, define for me the style for which you think I'm best suited to dance. Maybe a little tango? I feel like a tangoer, God. Okay. Yeah? Maybe I'm from the Northwest, maybe a little line dancing? No? Don't pretend like there's not a whole bunch of line dancers in here who wanted to say something, but you were like, I'm going to line dance so hard tonight, right? Maybe you're a little hip-hop. Maybe you're a little freestyle. Maybe you're a waltz kind of dancer. You tell God all these different styles, and God says, I don't know, but come here because I love you. If you grab hold, we'll just figure it out. See, that is so uncomfortable. I just want to know what God wants me to do. As a matter of fact, I deal with, in a lot of conversations of people who serve banker gods, and they ask questions like this. Pastor Danny, I have two choices. I can go through door A, I can go through door B. Will you pray with me and let me help me understand which one God wants me to go through? And I love these because I kill these conversations fast. And I'm like, oh, God wants you to go through both or not. What? He wants you to walk passionately through both or none at all. What? I need God to tell me what to do. Where do you see that in the Bible? Where do you see God saying, you're going to go do this and only this? Spiritual text shows God involved in people's choices, where they are and how they make them. It's much more common in Scripture to see God dance with people inside their decisions than it is for God to come down in a voice and tell somebody, this is where you're going to go. It happens, but it is such a small percentage, and yet it is the banker God that we all serve because, frankly, I'll be honest, it's easier. Door A or door B, God? God's like, both of them or none at all. See, that's how dancing and this idea of expression work. God wants to connect with you how you are or how you aren't. Maybe you're not a Sunday morning church person. You ever thought about that? Maybe it's just not your thing. But maybe it's your wife's. So what do you decide to do? Do you decide to attend for her or stay home for you? Or both? Or not at all? Or all the time? It depends on your relationship and where you're at in that season. Why can't we serve God that way? Why can't we serve God that way? I'm a big believer that churches turn over, that churches change. I'm tired of those churches that somehow think like they're Amway and you bought in and you're in forever and share with your friends, we're going to pyramid this thing down. And if you ever go to another church, then you're switching agendas and companies. That is not what I believe. You're here for this month. I don't know if God's going to keep you. Frankly, I don't know if I want God to keep you. I don't know. I'm a big believer. Flush them out, Lord. Flush them out. Right? I don't know if I want a church full of line dancers. I just don't know. But maybe I do. I want what God brings. I want when God brings it, and I want what God takes, and I want it when God takes it. I want to feel inside the relationship where he's leading. I don't want to lead. But I want to know that when the music comes on, as long as God's with me, we can experience this life together, whether our child is doing well in school or struggling, whether our marriage is having a rough spot or just sailing. I want to be with God in every aspect of my life. I want to stop looking at him like he's a banker, and instead, I want to, and I'll put this quote up, I want to experience who Jesus is because Jesus is holiness dancing with humanity. That's what he came for. He came to express everything we just said. He sat with people when they went fishing. He sat with people when they cooked meals. He sat with people when they prayed with him. He sat with people when they prayed for other people. He was where humanity was or wasn't. He was present. This is still who Christ is with us. He's not some kind of flu inoculation that you get once a year and then feel like, I'm pretty good. He is. One scripture says, I am. He is. And when you try to separate yourself from that, then he becomes nothing more than the note holder of your soul. And so you check in, make sure payments are good. Apologize when they're a little late, but he's a pretty good banker. You know he's not going to foreclose. Hopefully not too early. Some people are like, I feel like I might get foreclosed on at any moment. I don't know. I'm not paying your payments. I don't hope any of us are paying payments. I hope we're dancing with God, following his lead, and going where he wants us to go. So, how does the Bible describe this idea of Jesus as holiness dancing with humanity? And better yet, I'll put this question up. What is the purest result of this dance? What is the purest result of this dance? How do you look at someone's life, and you can evaluate mine, evaluate yours, this would be better, and say, is this person truly dancing with Christ? Are they engaged with Christ? Is he part of who they are in everyday life? I'll start off with a statement. You can ask yourself, do you believe this statement? Jesus Christ was born, lived, crucified, and rose from the dead for a reason. If you believe that statement, then the first thing you need to know is you signed up to be in a dance relationship, not a banker relationship. You may not know it, but you do now because I just said so. The Bible is where we get a better description of how this works. So, what is the purest result of this dance? The very purest result of what it means to be in relationship with Jesus Christ. The first thing that you need to recognize is that Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost. I like this verse, Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. This is an important verse for a couple different reasons. First off, it's an important verse to let you all know from the very beginning you're all spiritual orphans. Have you ever talked to a real orphan? I'm sure there's people in here who were orphaned as children. Real orphans are different than people who were born to parents that accepted them and kept them. Those of us who were born to those families, even if our families left us or let us down later in life, we know where we come from, we know where we belong. When someone is born an orphan, when they are given away very early, when they are lost, or maybe their parents died, something happened, when they are lost, there's a tone about their life as they go about finding themselves. This verse is very important because it lets you know the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Every person in this room is a spiritual orphan. You were born into sin. You were born into brokenness. You were born in a world that wants nothing really more than to consume you, and while it's consuming you, pat you on the head and tell you you're doing a great job. You're enough. And by enough, I mean, doesn't really matter if you're hurt people around you. It's all about you. It's all about your desires. It's all about your hope. And as you begin to believe that, you begin to alienate yourself more and more for people, trying to find yourself. And in that process, you continue to break relationship until you are completely and absolutely alone. Jesus came for those people. If you think you're found because you're solid, I can guarantee you, you might be the most lost person in this room. The most lost person in this room who came here today knowing they have no answers, they have no hope maybe, could possibly be the most found person in this room because that is who Jesus, according to Scripture, draws near to. The primary reason Jesus came was to find lost people. And he did it for this second reason, that we might have life and have it abundantly. That we might have life and have it abundantly. I am so tired. Okay, I'm going to get on. If I had a soapbox, can I get an actual soapbox? It would be so cool. I just step up on it. Mm-hmm. Little soapbox talk. Christians are not, was that sign, was that ASL for soapbox? Is that what that was? Soapbox. Do it again. I mean, yeah, good. I like that. He did it way better than me, so I was like, a soapbox, if I had a soapbox, if we had a soapbox and we stood on it, there's something we would want to tell you, and that is you should not be living an unbelievably boring Christian life. I mean, like, so average and so plain and so like everybody else that you are even hard to tell apart from people who follow Jesus. That should not be the case. You should not be able to walk into a room and tell someone who comes here on Sunday and raises their hands and proclaim God's their Lord. You should not be able to walk into a room full of lonely, lost, broken people and not tell them apart. If you know you were lost and Jesus found you, if you know that God has purpose in your life and that life should live in abundance, then why do you not live in abundance? Why do you live life just under pressure and broken. And I'll tell you why, John 10:10, because the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. When you believe the lies of the thief, when you believe money will fix you or fame will fix you or a new spouse will fix you or remedying yourself from this situation or even as some have said, a different church will fix me. When you believe these things, the reality is you are just decaying inside because it is, as the verse says, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Only Christ who brings true life. Salvation is just the beginning of our Christian life. When we discover and live in God's will, we can enjoy the fullness and abundance he promised. If you feel stifled, if you feel slowed down, if you feel inhibited, that could be, spiritually speaking, your own reality and your own doing because you live and serve, I'm talking to Christians in the room, a banker, not a dancer. There's no creativity. There's no expression. There's no explosion. There's no ability to just stop and say, ah, let's do that again. Let's do that again. That was awesome. That was almost. Have you ever had a date with your wife or your husband that was an almost? Right? And it was like kind of good, but then something happened and you lost your temper and you said something. And then I've done this a few times because I have a mouth problem. And I will just say something and my wife just changes. It's like her curls just go, just done. Right? I look over and she just looks like she just got out of the shower. She's like, just take me home. Right? And I'm like, ugh. As a banker, I'm like, well, good thing God covered my debt. As a dancer, I'm like, no, let me start again. You go to that side of the room. I'll go to this side of the room. Ready? Catch me, right? And that's what we want. We want to be able to dance. We want to be able to have expression. And that's what life abundance looks like. It doesn't look like not messing up. That's not it. It's not about not messing up. It's about messing up knowing you're perfecting the dance. I just went to rehearsal for a dance, and I watched them mess up, and no one in the room went, oh, my God, whoa. You tried it once. Next. They were like, oh, almost. Woo. And the person got up smiling, right? And they were like, I think I got it. I think I got it. That's how we're supposed to live life. We're supposed to fall down and mess up and get up. Isn't this what we teach our kids? Then somewhere along the way, we get into adulthood and we decide that suddenly it's about banker God instead of dancer God. And out of nowhere, we fall down and we stay down. And then we not only stay down, we blame it on our spouse or the people in our life that didn't do the right thing. And then once those people leave and we find ourselves alone on a room, we blame God himself. This is a stupid song. As one Facebook friend wrote the other day, I want a redeal. Yeah, you and everybody else, bro. Get up, recognize you're still in the game, recognize you're still part of the dance, and live your life abundantly. What this results in, after you recognize God came to seek you because you're lost, I'm lost, you recognize God wants to find you and then express, cause you to express your life living abundantly, the next thing he wants to do is set you loose. God wants to set captives loose. Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Jesus Christ wants to reveal the bondage in your life and the bondage in your life that causes you to suddenly be able to fully express yourself how you're built to be expressed. I think I know a lot of Christians that know they're lost and can proclaim that they've been found by God. I know a lot of Christians that actually live life with an incredible amount of fervor, but I also know a lot of Christians that have a secret life within those lives that is bound up with secrets and decisions and things that keep their inner selves from truly expressing all that God has built them to share with us. Jesus wants to reveal those hidden areas of bondage and lack of control so we can deal with them and live without bondage. He wants to deal with it. That is such a difficult thing. To truly sit in a place and be self-aware about what your skills are lacking, about what your spirit and soul are lacking, about what you grew up with that you didn't even know you were missing. All of us in this room, we are missing pieces. And unless we can be honest about the things that we're missing, the things in our lives that we're missing, then we will never be able to perfect being in relationship first with God or anybody else. We have to recognize the things in our life that should have happened to us that didn't. Some of you are missing stuff that should have happened to you and didn't. You should have had dinner with your family. You should have had a dad that was involved or normal. You should have had a mom that was around. You should have had a sister that wasn't this way, or you shouldn't have been the brother that you were. It should have, and this is impacting your life. These are things that should have happened to you that didn't. Some of you, you have bondage because of things that happened to you that shouldn't have. There's trauma in your life. It happened to you and it shouldn't have. Some should have happened to you and it didn't. Some happened to you and it shouldn't have. Unless you sit inside that place and you get with people and you get in relationship and you own what is, not responsibility for, just own what is, then you will continue to never be able to move in this life like you should. And nothing will change. And you will live the insane repetition that all of us live of insanity, which as we know is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. If you don't change your life and you come to our church thinking I'm going to change your life, you're going to leave this church and proclaim us broken just like the other five churches you left before us. I'm not going to fix you. I'll be honest, because I'm doing pretty good these days about dancing with God. I'm not supposed to fix you. That's not my dance move. That's your dance move. You're supposed to fix you. And you're supposed to do it through proclaiming what is in your life to Jesus. You're supposed to do it by being honest and self-aware that you don't know, that you're lost, that God wants abundant life to be lived from you, and that he wants to free you from the stuff in your life, both that happened to you or that should have happened to you, so that you can live a little lighter, dance a little longer, jump a little higher. Amen. All of this sums up to one word, constantly repeating through Scripture that Christ came to do, and that's the word freedom. Christ came above everything else to bring freedom. Now, I may have a few theologians in the room, and you're like, I don't know about this. This may be my last weekend here. Well, that's all right. I got a Bible verse for you. So leave with this. Galatians 5, 1 and 13. First line, for freedom, Christ has set us free. Oh, that's offensive right there. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Why did Christ set us free? For freedom. Why did Jesus die on a cross? For freedom. Why did Jesus come as man in the flesh? For freedom. Why did Jesus suffer? For freedom. What is the purpose behind Jesus setting us free? Freedom. For freedom, he set us free. And in this freedom, we have to stand firm. And do not submit again to a yoke of slavery, for you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. This is a really important verse. This is a cornerstone verse. If you're going to get a verse tattooed on your body, I choose this one. Super long, kind of strange, but heard this at church. It goes all the way down my leg. For freedom, Christ has set us free. And here's the best part. He doesn't just say that suddenly when you're free, you just start spinning around the room without Jesus as your leader. You suddenly swap music. You suddenly don't care what anybody says. No, he actually says, because you're free, stand firm. And because you're free, make sure not to use your freedom to draw attention to yourself, but instead serve one another. Instead, submit to God and his purposes in your life, because ultimately that's where the greatest freedom is. I hated this concept for years. People would say, I just want to go to heaven where I can serve Jesus the rest of my life. And I was like your whole life? Like, I don't mind serving 2 or 3 days a week, but my whole life, for all eternity, I'm going to be like, hey, Jesus, I'm here again. What do you want me to do today? Rose bushes? Okay. Jeez. Like, what? That's it? And then I started really processing what this might be like. See, imagine this. The banker and the dancer, God as a whole loves you. He loves you. As a matter of fact, he wants better for you than you want for you. So imagine you're sitting in a room and you actually buy into this idea of actually following God and serving him and following him. And you say, God, here's my plans. Here's what I want to do. Here's what I want to be free to do without any constraint. I want to be able to retire at 60 years old. Really good. Like, no switch in lifestyle, maybe even an uptick. I want to be able to stay married to the same woman that entire time. I want her to be nice the whole time. The whole time, right? I want my kids to be respectful, successful, and good-looking, always, right? Always. I want to be a pastor of one church for the rest of my life. I want to have close friends that I can grow old with and laugh with. And then one day, with rain on the roof, this is my own personal dream, I just want to die in my sleep with a storm outside that proclaims Danny was here. That last part's a little bit fleshy, but you understand the idea. Have my whole house rip in half. I'm just dead in the bed. Done. Right? Yeah. That's what I want. And then what if God, who I have to submit to, says, okay, here's the deal. I'll give you that, or you can serve me the rest of your life. Well, what does that look like? Okay, it looks like this. You have an impact that lasts for all eternity. You actually love people and are loved by people. Okay. You make good financial decisions based on biblical guidelines. Your wife, she's not nice to you all the time, but she loves you unlike anybody's ever loved anybody, and you love her unlike anybody's ever loved anybody. Your kids, they mess up, but they always come home because they know, like I love you, you love them. And their kids, and their kids, and their kids, this is just passed on for generation after generation. You don't live in anxiety, you don't live in stress, and one day you die surrounded by loved ones, and nobody but them notices. But to do that, Danny, you got to serve me. Which do you think I choose? See, for heaven and this eternal thing that we are all living in right now, the Bible says we're living now. Our eternity starts now. God has purpose and plans in place, and it's really only you that's messing those up because you don't dance. You determine. You deem. And God wants you to dance. He wants you to know that he has bigger dreams, better dreams, more incredible dreams than you do. But it takes surrendering to him, standing firm, as the verse says, and trusting that he will lead you to a place you've never lived before. This is the God that we serve, and this is the freedom he brings. And once you hear about this freedom, here's the best part. It demands that you respond. It demands that you respond. If I lived my life at the local county jail, and they came in one day and said, Danny, we've decided we're going to free you from all bondage, all past failures. You're going to start fresh and new. And the doors were opened, and my family was outside, and people were praying for me, and there was even a church community around me. And I looked around, and I said, no, I'm going to live my life here. Is it this city that's keeping me in bondage or me that's keeping me in bondage? See, when you choose not to follow God's freedom or not to dance, you choose instead to be still. You choose instead to decay. You choose instead to sit inside a cell. And then you blame everybody else around you, this world and including this God, for not making it easier for you to live in the bondage you want to live, where there's no risk, where there's no failure. Inside my cell, I'm safe. I'm bored to death and I'm decaying every day, but at least I'm safe. At least there's not going to be rain on me. At least I'm not going to get my feelings hurt by people. At least I'm not going to be dealing with all those crazy political situations. At least I'm not going to have to do this or that or this. I'm just going to live inside this cell, and then I'm going to blame everyone around me for my loneliness and my brokenness. See, when you hear sermons like this, and this is supposed to mess you up, it's supposed to demand a response from you. Not a person in this room, I believe, because I prayed it at the beginning through the Holy Spirit, will be allowed to leave thinking God isn't offering you more. What, though? Because our God is a gentleman, and because our God does give this free will, what you are allowed to do is stay in the cell you put yourself in. That's allowed. You can stay in the addiction, you can stay in the brokenness, you can stay in the crap marriage, you can stay in the situation with your kids, you can stay in the job thing you've done to yourself, you can stay in the debt, you can stay in the church hate, you can stay in the Danny hate, I don't care, stay in it all. But I'm offering you a way out through the Holy Spirit, who I am being prompted to right now to let you know you have a choice to make. Dance with God or choose to deem yourself worthy and sit alone till you die. because those are the only two options according to Scripture. That's why this place is doing what it's doing, because it's full of chalky, bloody-kneed, calloused feet dancers that are willing to do what it takes to express who they are that God has created them to be. And if you don't choose that, that's fine, but then you will decay like all of us would if we sat in a cell for the next 50 years till we breathed our last. Don't blame me. Don't blame your family. Stop blaming this world. Stop asking for a redeal and just realize that's what you chose. That's what you chose. You get up every morning, sadly, and choose it again and again and again. And you surround yourself with other people who scream down the hall, cursings at this world you hate as well. And you make one big giant cell block of humanity that does nothing but take up space. And you don't have to. I don't have to. I serve a God that offers more, but it's probably time you engage with him as much as you do with that passion you think fills that hole that one day, I'm here to tell you, every passion you have right now, whether that's your favorite career, whether that's something you think you're just amazing at, it will all fade away, and all you'll be left with is the hole that that passion made. And if it's 80% of your life, I have sat at these deathbeds. These are some of the scariest, most uncomfortable situations I've sat at. Somebody fills their life with the passion of making money, or they fill their life with the passion of security, or they fill their life, I even had one lady who she filled her life with her kids. I mean, just everything was about kids, to the point she was involved in their adult marriages. It was insane. And as she got closer to death, and as the children, she could tell, were like, I'm going to go live my own life now. And as the retirement came, and people didn't find you as important because somebody else came along who could help them earn money, or as that career faded away because you're just too old to do it like you used to, suddenly this hole that's 80% is just a giant vacuum of what if. What if I would have spent my life different? What if I would have saw this coming right now? How would I be? Where could I be with the skills God gave me? God has given you freedom today to choose to expel that vacuum. Still participate. Still be around. God gave you all those beautiful things, kids and careers and money, all those things. But God wants to be the center of your universe. He wants to be your what is. And if you can do that, it is God himself that will set you free. It is only living from that truth that true freedom can be attained, and so our whole selves can come forth with full expression. It's only from that place that we can truly be who we're supposed to be. I love teaching you. I love it because you are not an easy audience. I don't know if you know that or not. But if I flew to the Midwest, they would lap me up. Like a kitten with milk. This is a tough place to do church. It's a tough place. You really gotta communicate well, and you gotta drive home a point. And I love that we have to battle every single Sunday, and I'm in. But sometimes, every once in a while, I feel like God brings stuff to us that just makes it almost impossible to not know that he wants more from us. He wants expression from us. And I think this Sunday might be one of those Sundays. This dance series, I've partnered with a dance studio in town, actually, Bo and Rose Sim. Some of you know them. Lots of you know them. They own an incredible dance studio in town called Groove Nation. And he helped and coordinated, and we've been working on it for months, actually, the dance we saw last week. That we're actually making a really neat creative video with, and we're going to be presenting at the end of this series. Well, every single one of the weekends over the next 4 weeks that we are doing the dance series, I'm going to be presenting to you with Bo a dance for you to really soak in what it is that God is trying to bring home. And so I want to invite Bo up, and he's going to kind of express how this kind of freedom in dance has connected him to his God. And then he's going to bless us with a beautiful illustration. So will you give Bo Sim a hand?
Good morning, good morning. Again, my name is Bo Sim, and my wife and I are the proud owners and founders of Groove Nation Dance Academy, as well as our new Groove Ministries. And I just want to read a scripture here this morning. In Acts 17, 28, it says, "For in him we live and move." Come on, somebody. "And move and have all being." Amen? And that's what we do at Groove Nation. We move in him. Everything we do is commissioned by the Lord. You know, I grew up as a real, like, nerdy Asian kid from a war-torn country, Cambodia. And at 6 years old, you know, I remember experiencing my first Holy Spirit moment when I saw Michael Jackson moonwalk on American Music Award. It was life-changing. You know, I was never one of those athletic kids. You know, I was one of those, you know, kids who stood at the fence while all the, you know, the captains are choosing the, picking up the teams, you know. And it was just me and a girl and a kid who was known to pick his nose and eat his booger, you know. So, you know, I say, you know, I'm just going to dance. You know, I just love dancing. You know, I grew up, my sisters were playing music like from Earth, Wind, and Fire, Kool and the Gang, you know, Michael Jackson, Prince. You know, I mean, it's, I grew up in a musical family there, and I was, you know, it was one of those things that I knew that's what I wanted to do. My parents would rather me be a banker, you know, but I chose dance, you know, I wanted to learn those moves mainly because I wanted to learn those steps so I can show it off for the girls at the party that night, you know. So, you know, we use here at Groove Nation, we have a saying called, "Don't move to the music, but let the music move you." Don't move to the music, but let the music move you. I see a lot of people that come to my studio, and I'm, as a teacher, I'm trying to teach them to feel the groove, feel the music, feel the bass. Don't try to anticipate it. You know, let the music flow through you. And that's the same thing with God. We always want to move, allow the Holy Spirit to move us. Allow God. It's that dance that Pastor Danny was talking about. You know, I was surfing through the web, and I came up with this. It's a beautiful thing. I just want to read this to you. "They say to dance like nobody's watching. I think that implies that we are afraid or ashamed to dance in front of the people. I say, dance like everybody's watching. Dance like your children are watching, your ancestors, your family. Dance for those who are hurting, those who can't dance, those who lost loved ones, and those who suffer injustices throughout the world. Let every step be a prayer for the humanity. Most of all, dance for the Creator who breathed into your soul so you may celebrate this gift of life. This is why we dance." Amen. So I brought five friends of mine here. And instead of trying to explain what dance means to us or the impact it has, I'd rather just have them show it to you. Would that be okay? All right. So please, feel free, and I really mean this. Pastor Danny gave me permission. Make noise. Get excited. You see something you like, you know, cheer. It's all good. So, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, Groove Nation.
Music is always what is what's going to make me feel a certain way. So, I listened to it first, and kind of what's going on, like, how does it make me feel, like, naturally? So, in my head, what's going on is, does it make me feel aggressive? Is it up-tempo? Is it chill? Is it relaxed? And from there, I'll just let my body move based off of, like, the rhythms, like, everything that I go based off of instinct and what I hear. And not all of that's being caught within a matter of seconds of me hearing the initial beat. So I try to cover a lot of different rhythms. I try to encompass like a lot of the instrumentation as well as just like the, instead of just the main instrumentation, I try to grab as much instrumentation as I can. It's like a body language in terms of dance. So just the way I express myself, I don't want to be monotone when I speak. I want to be pretty clear and precise to an extent. So I also want to have a lot of range. So I just let all the different instruments that encompass the song take over.
I have to celebrate you, baby. I have to praise you like I should. I have to praise you. I have to praise you. I have to praise you like I should.
Central Los Angeles by a man named Cesare Laurent Willis. Get people off the streets, pretty much. Where it was created was in not a very good neighborhood. There was a lot of gang activity and bad things happening. So instead of going down that road, Cesare decided to do something positive and make a dance out of it, out of big exaggerated movements. So instead of doing that on the streets where it was unsafe, the first sessions, Crump sessions, were in churches because that was the only safe place that they could dance. The reason why I started Crump and are so influenced by Crump is because I don't have, you know, the best past, not me personally, but just growing up and stuff like that. So I had a lot of issues back home. So when I started Crump, it made me feel good. So instead of doing bad things, like start doing drugs or stuff you're not supposed to be doing and getting in trouble, instead I just started dancing and sessioning. And as soon as you get that feeling, we call it live and Crump. As soon as you get live and people are yelling for you and screaming your name and just in your face with you and rocking with you, it's the best feeling in the world. Can't explain it.
Hip-hop started in the Bronx in 73, coined by African Bambaataa and the Zulu Nation, also accredited to DJ Kool Herc and Grandmaster Flash for being the kind of golden trio of creating hip-hop. As far as how hip hop affects me in my own life, I'm drawn to hip hop because it's not necessarily just one feeling, not jazz where I'm fake smiling the whole time. I can have fun. If I'm in a cypher, I can get the party vibe. If I'm feeling on the more aggression tip, I can let out my aggression. I can pull from all of my emotions, really the entire spectrum, and just release everything that I'm feeling, whether that's anger or sadness, or if I'm just super happy to be around with everybody. And then I can let all of that out in a cypher or by myself or on stage or wherever I'm at.
Grace through faith. I talked to a cat the other day, and he was like, man, I really want to come to Christ, but I gotta clean my life up first, get my sins together. I told him, I used to think that way too. I thought I had to change myself before I could come to Christ, but Christ changed me. Let me tell you, my story starts like this. It's 5:46 in the morning, tossing and turning, chest burning. Sermons in my head keep reoccurring, having visions in my head of a kid crying at the feet of the Father for all the wrong things that he did. Now I'm sweating in my sheets, can't sleep. My mind keeps telling me I'm 6 feet deep. Don't remind me, even though I'm still alive, I can't tell. The way I'm living my life, I feel I'm going to hell. God, they telling me I should accept you, that you had to leave the world cause the world left you. Reason I can't change, like a mystery to me. So I make believe there really is a heaven for a G. Even though they say you love the world so much, you shed your blood. God, I feel I'm too messed up for love. They tell me come as I am, but I smell like smoke. My whole life's full of sin, cause it's all I know. The Bible told me that you died for my sins. If I believe in Christ, to save me from the end. But I'm scared to ask you to save me. My heart's so evil, I got thoughts that's full of hatred, hurt from people. I thought that first I had to clean up my life. Now I'm here and I just need to cling to the light. I'm ready to do it, but Lord, I pray you understand. My life is a mess, will you take me as I am? Will you take me as I am? Is wrong, but I can't change on my own, trying to make it alone. I wonder, how could you love me when my life's so ugly? But you came down and died for me. Will you take me as I am? I know the way I'm living is wrong, but I can't change on my own, trying to make it alone.
I think what makes contemporary dance so beautiful is the fact that it's so easy to portray an emotion through movement throughout your entire body. And when I go out to do my contemporary solo, I want people to see my emotion and how much I love to do what I do. And I hope people feel it, just how I feel it, through the way that I'm moving my body. I think God uses me through my contemporary dance to connect with other people instead of me using my contemporary dance to connect with God. I think it can be used both ways. But I find it more fulfilling when I go out like unknowing of what I'm going to do, and I just let God take over the song and how I'm going to move to the song, and then he uses the message he wants the audience to see through the way I'm moving.
These pieces broken and scattered, in mercy gathered, mended and whole. Empty handed but not forsaken, I've been set free, I've been set free. Thank you. raising up the broken to
life. Well, my dad always had a passion for dance, so I kind of followed that and I went for it, and then I just, many years later, I started liking it, and I now just start doing it. When they see me dance, sometimes at the beginning, they think, oh, it's just a kid, this is gonna be cute, and then once they see me dance, they don't expect what happened. Sometimes I used to go to an actual school, and then once I was there, I was always in the other room dancing, and everyone else was playing sports. And then they always sometimes said some things, but I just walked away and started dancing. I want to be a dancer and win a lot of battles, and I want to have a career with a business like this. Yeah.
Give our dancers a hand. So why do we do this? We do this for a couple different reasons. One of those is just to show that God doesn't live in your box. The way that you express your love of God, your worship for God, these people right here, I've spent now 2 weeks with them. This is how they express their love for God. And I think it illustrates as good as anyone in this room what it means to just be who you're supposed to be with Christ. Your life is supposed to be an expression of the dance you have with Jesus Christ. And the stuff in your life that keeps you from moving, that keeps you from flowing, that keeps you from grooving and do whatever it is you're supposed to do, that stuff has been defeated by the cross of Christ. And that stuff is supposed to be expelled to bring brightness and lightness to your life so that you can move and proclaim that you are worthy of His love. That there are people around you who want to see you dance with God. There are people around you who want to see you express who you are. And it's time you stop holding back. It is in His freedom, as the song says, that we're about to sing. It is in His freedom that we live. And so will you stand with me as we close our time together proclaiming that truth in this place right now? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we proclaim freedom over this place. We proclaim freedom, God, in Your name. We proclaim, Lord, freedom in such a way that it is powerful, that it is releasing, that it is incredible, that, God, we could express who we are in You. And so, Lord, we just lift our voices, we lift our song, and we lift our dance to You and You alone, and all God's people said, amen.